Oh, thank you, our Father, for your sacrifice for sin, for your sacrifice for disease, for your sacrifice that brings peace beyond understanding, the very righteousness of God, full acceptability, every sin remitted, every disease healed. We are so grateful for a chance this March to talk about the cross and the empty tomb. We thank you, our Father. We thank you that as we listen together, that every single heart will catch what they need to hear personally. And we ask for the anointing strong, that you may speak through us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Now, when we use the word careful, we mean be cautious, watch your step. This word doesn't mean that at all. It means don't worry, don't fret, don't have any anxiety. It means don't take thought. You know, sometimes you think about things that to your harm. Have you ever done that? You had a thought in your mind, you kept thinking, you kept pondering it, and the more you thought about it, the more discouraged you got. Be careful for nothing. Nothing's a really big word. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So this is what we're going, instead of worry, we are going to pray. Now let me read you the translations, should I be able to find them without pulling every piece of paper out of my Bible. That doesn't work too well. I want you to get the different translations because I want you to get be careful for nothing is kind of blind to us. We don't talk like that anymore. These are the different translations. Same phrase. Fret not about anything. Are you catching this? Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Don't worry over anything whatsoever. Have no anxiety at all. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Stop being worried about anything. Did you get the point of that? The anything part? That includes everything? Anything includes everything? Fret not about anything. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. Don't worry over anything whatsoever. Have no anxiety at all. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Stop being worried about anything. Be careful for nothing. It means don't worry, don't fret, don't be anxious, don't be uptight. That means I'm going to have to watch my mind, right? You can't just think what you want to think. You're going to have to discipline your mind, guard your mind from thoughts that are going to do damage. But what we're going to do instead of worry, but every time you see a but, that's a change of direction word. And with the direction, we're going to leave worry aside, anxiety aside, and instead we're going to pray. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We're going to pray with thanksgiving. The only reason you'd pray with thanksgiving is because you could be assured of an answer. Otherwise, we're praying with our fingers crossed, just hoping for the, you know, one fella told me, you just stand on the word and hope for the best. And that's a long way from truth. We're not just hoping for the best. Hope is confident expectations in the scripture. It's not like the American word hope. Hope means, is Mabel coming? You say, well, I sure hope so. I want her to come, but I don't know if she's come, but I hope so. This word hope, always in the scripture, it means to confidently expect. When you have hope, you're looking to the future, and sometime in the future, you're going to have what you need. You have the promise of it today, the expectation of it now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So hope is the foundation upon which faith rests. Faith and hope work together. And faith is the substance. Our faith is giving substance. Your faith is materializing and bringing to pass what you hope for. And so instead of worry, say, instead of worry, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray with thanksgiving. Now, if I was very, very wealthy, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? And I had promised you, anytime you need anything, you call me. We can do this for you. We'll be glad to do this for you. Well, you would call me with great thanksgiving because you know I'm a person of my word. I never lie. Well, you'd know I'll call Becky. She'll do it. She said she would. I don't know why, if when we call on God, we think, maybe so, maybe not. But God said, call upon me and I will answer you. So then the next mistake we make, when he says, call upon me, I'll answer you, is sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. And I don't know where you got that, because he said he watches over his word to perform. If he gave his word is going to come to pass. There's no yes, no, and maybe here. That's a theology that was birthed in the heart of some man that didn't read the scripture correctly. He said, call upon me, I will. Not I might, I could, I hope so. Cross your fingers, give it a shot. You never know, it could work out. And anytime we approach that, something we've lost before we got started, we've already lost. Now, so what we're going to do, we're going to pray with thanksgiving because we're assured of an answer. Now, let me show you our assured answer, and we'll be back to this verse probably, but look at Matthew. Matthew, you know the Beatitudes, but look at chapter 7. Wayne, can you get that?
Oh, I got it.
She's got it. Okay.
Thank you.
7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Not ask and it might be, it could be, I hope it will be. If God says ask and it shall be, then it shall be.
Amen.
Now, there's an addendum to that in the book of James. It says you have not because you ask not. Failure to ask brings great loss and lack. If you don't ask, you might not have what you need. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. So if you don't ask, maybe it's not given. And James said, you have not because you ask not. God said, I'd have given that to you if you'd asked me, but you didn't ask me. Now that contradicts, I didn't come to contradict everything I've ever heard, but that's what I'm doing in it. Sometimes they say God is sovereign, and he is sovereign. There's no doubt about that. And in his sovereignty, he does what he wants to, when he wants to, if he wants to. But God in his sovereignty made certain rules for man. He said men need to ask. He's instructed us who know him to ask him. He said, well, if he knows it needs to be done, why doesn't he just do it? Because he said for you to ask him. And I'm going to tell you, asking and the period of patience builds our faith and structures us. The next battle might be worse than this one. I don't say, oh me, but it might be. And if that battle's worse and you just flunk the last battle, you see you're in a weakened state for a worse battle. And sometimes God's delay is for the strengthening of your faith. That's just the truth of it. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receives. Do you get that? Everyone that asks receives. Are you an everyone?
Yeah.
A gentleman came, wanted to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I read him the verse from the book of Luke that says, everyone. The Father gives the Spirit to everyone. And I said, are you an everyone? And he said, I don't know if I am or not. How dumb can you get and still breathe? You are an everyone, and everyone that asks. But now here's criteria. Ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asks receives. You have not because you didn't ask. And then it goes on to say, and you have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. In other words, you can ask for what's illegal, immoral, and really dumb, and God ain't going to answer that. He let you know, I don't do illegal, I don't do immoral, I don't break my word, I don't cross up my word, but if you ask according to my word, according to my will. Now, if I ask and I know that he's going to answer because he said he would. He said he would. Ask and you shall receive. Everyone that asks receives. There isn't any stronger verb than you shall be. It shall be. Not it might be. It shall be. Now, 1 John says this is a confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that means we rule out illegal, immoral, and really dumb. Those won't work. You do have to ask, but you do have to confirm through the word and through your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that you're asking in the right direction. Now, that's very easy if you walk with God. Wayne and I have been married 57 years, right? I pretty well know if I'm asking for something he's not going to want to do. I can just tell you, I'm getting really smart. Years ago, I found out some things Wayne likes to do and some things he doesn't like to do. And if I'm asking for something that he doesn't like to do, I'm going to cushion it in a certain way to make it come my way. But if you ask God for something he said he wouldn't do, you've lost. You know, sometimes we need to know the reason why we don't get what we need, what we ask for. First of all, did you ask? And I don't know how people say, well, no, because God's sovereign. He is sovereign. And the sovereign God said, all my people should ask. That's how sovereignty rules. Now, you have not because you ask not. In other words, great lack is caused by lack of asking. If you didn't have enough, you didn't ask. Or you got impatient, you jumped ship before you came to the conclusion, and that's easy to do too. Everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds. Now, when you seek for something, it takes time. Have you noticed? Have you ever lost anything? We lose our phone regularly. We both have cell phones, and we have landlines, and we use the landline a lot because we can't find the cell phone. That's just the truth. You remember, in Mama's kitchen, the phone was attached to the wall. Anybody doesn't remember that? Phone was attached to the wall. And the glory of divine blessing was when they came out with the longer phone cords. You remember that? You had the short cord. You had to stand by the phone. Then you got the long cord, and it was so long. The phone was on the kitchen wall, which was also the dining room wall, and you could actually walk around the corner with that long cord and make your call, you see, and ask and listen and hear and receive. See, now God's a good distance away, but he's got good ears. And he's waiting on me to ask. And he's waiting on me to wait. He's waiting on me to wait. He said, seek and find. And anytime you seek something to find, see, you didn't have to hunt your phone. Today you have to hunt your phone. You don't know where you left it. We didn't have to hunt the phone. It's on the wall in the kitchen. It's right around the corner from the dining room. It's right there. You don't have to hunt it. But when you have to hunt something, now, first thing we do is check the car. That's a good possibility. Wayne just found his in the car probably yesterday, day before yesterday. I'm the one that loses their phone the most. And I go to all the usual. What I'm telling you, it takes time to find the phone. And if you're seeking God, he says, if you seek me, you will find me, but it may take some time. Faith and patience inherits the promise. And the time is often to your benefit. See, I like instant. Love instant. But when God says patience, he's telling you this may not be instant. And sometimes God is moving slow because your request is not right. Now, one lady came. She's buying a new house. She found the house. She said, she told me, the Lord said, this is your house. I'm just going by what she said, the Lord said. I didn't see her again. We agreed in prayer. I didn't see her again for months and months. And somebody said, hey, you know, so-and-so moved over on whatever street it was. But it wasn't the street we agreed upon. I thought instantly, now that's not the house she said the Lord said. Well, when the first bid came in and they refused her, rather than making a new bid and standing fast because the Lord said, she said, well, we didn't get that. And she turned loose. If you're going to seek and find, you cannot turn loose. You can't quit holding fast to what God has said. Let me tell you another story that was true. A lady came to me. She'd had the same job for years and years, and her company had been bought out, and most of the old-timers, and that's who she was, had been laid off, and they weren't going to be rehired. And so she didn't have a job. She's a single. She needs a job. She has no other support. So she came to me, and she said she was reading the newspaper. You remember that? Reading the newspaper? She's reading the newspaper, and the print jumped up off the page at her on one of the ads. And she looked, and it was for a job in Orlando. She said, do you believe that? I said, I am a believer. She said, the print stood up. Well, she went over, and they hired her. And they had some time before they were going to put her on. And before that time came, they called and said they had changed their mind, that they checked their budget and they really couldn't employ her. And she said, I don't have a job. I said, wait. Don't ever turn loose of thus saith the Lord. Don't ever turn loose. I said, wait a minute. Did God say that was your job? He spoke to you? The print jumped off the page? I said, me, I'd hang on. They're making a mistake. And your faith will correct that mistake. And she looked at me like, well, the company had a piece of property that they'd had on the market. It'd been on the market so long it wouldn't sell. They had taken the sign off. It doesn't even have a sign on it anymore. And they called her about 2 weeks after that and said, we have had the most unusual thing. See, if you hold fast to God, everyone that asks receives. And if you get a no and you were in the will of God, you do not turn loose. Well, somebody liked that property and came and found out, went to the records department, found out who owned it, didn't have a sign on it anymore. And they bought it and they said, now we have enough money and we're setting it aside to pay your salary for a year. Now what happened? She had turned loose. See, when she came to me, she's finished. She said, I applied for the job, they hired me, then they said they couldn't hire me, so I don't have a job. I can't let her stand there. Because she's going to lose and step out of the will of God by doubt and unbelief. And the doubt and unbelief was caused by material circumstances. Y'all got that right? Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 7, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. Walk is ordinary. Every Christian walks. We walk in the Word. We walk in obedience. We walk in the commandments. Everybody walks. If it said we crawl by faith, some people would be eliminated. It chose the word walk, and sometimes it says we live by faith. And we chose those words because it's indicative every single person lives and walks by faith. And faith doesn't depend upon the circumstances. It says not by sight. See, she was going by faith. She saw the ad in the newspaper, and the Lord spoke. She applied by faith. She was hired because of her faith. And when sight said that's not happening, she turned loose. But you never turn loose of your faith. Like never? You got never? Never turn loose of your faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now look at chapter 4, verse 18. We look not the things which are seen. If I depend upon how it looks, how it seems, and how it feels, and what I've heard, that may or may not be the facts about the situation. That could be wrong. Now, this gentleman had cancer, stage 4. They wrote a book about it. I found out somebody passed me the book. And they wrote a book about it, and he had his own business, so he went to work until he couldn't sit in his chair anymore, that he had to go stay home. Eventually ended up in the hospital. He had the most tenacious faith I've ever seen. He said, I will live and not die and declare the wonderful works of the Lord. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. And as he went into a coma, he said to his dear little wife, don't you turn loose of me. Don't you undo our faith. I am not dying. And the pastor came in and he said, the doctor says you will die tonight, and I'll be in the morning to help you with the arrangements. She never flinched. He will live and not die. He told her, don't you turn loose of me. Don't you turn loose of me. Well, I wanted some more copies of the book, so I'm pretty smart. The name of the town, it wasn't a Florida town, where she lived was mentioned in the book, so I called the Chamber of Commerce. And I said, do you know this lady? And they did know her, and they gave me a number, and I talked to her on the phone. It was decades ago. She's now with the Lord. He got well, and he lived a couple decades or so, I don't know how long, before he died. Amen. Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. You know what did that? Everyone that asks receives. They're not giving up. They're not relinquishing. They're not turning loose. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that asks receives. Seek and you shall find. Okay, it's going to take time. I don't like time. And then he says, knock on the doors opened unto you. See, if we knock a while on the door, we'll say, well, they're not home, and we just leave. Is that what you do? That's what most people do. Well, we have outdoor cameras, and so we were taking, I don't know about you, but Wayne and Becky come to take an afternoon nap. And I was asleep, and I heard the knock, and before I could get up, he had left. He had come, he knocked on the door, and he thought, well, nobody's there, and he left. Because our cars are in the back, he couldn't have seen the cars, and so he's not there anymore. By the time I got the door, he's long gone. But see, when somebody knocks, you have to wait till they get to the door. And for whatever reason God delays, you got to wait till he opens the door. Amen. Now, in Africa, most of the houses are fenced in, are walled in, and they have nighttime guards. That's what their job. They guard that house, or sometimes it's two or three houses in a walled-out thing. And they guard that. And when they sit up all night, they're supposed to be awake all night. But in the daytime, they're never unlocked. Fence and gates are always locked. And we were at Jeannie and Steve Patrick's there. We had been teaching over there. And somebody knocked on the gate, which was a considerable distance out, and the cook went out to check to see who they were, and so it took her time to get there. And then she's got to talk to them, find out what they want, and then she's got to come back to the house. Well, all that takes time. See, when God says knock, it may take some time before the door opens, but you're not going to give up. You're not going to relinquish. Everyone that asks receives. You're not going to surrender. Well, she wanted to sell me some baskets, and I'm totally for that. But we went out, and you know what? The maid, they didn't open the door. So we talked to her and then negotiated, and she showed me what she had. And then the maid opened the door, and I got to touch it, you know, and pay for it. And it's in the house. We still got it. It's still in the house with a couple other things we bought there. But you see, all of that was a time transaction. So why didn't God get in a hurry? Well, I don't know. Ask him when you get there. But are you going to give up just because it's slower than you'd like? Now look again at Matthew. We look not at things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. We look at the things which are eternal. I'm going to show you something that's startling. Unless you're a research person, you won't know it. It says, take no thought. That expression, verse 25, take no thought, is the identical, same expression, same word we just read in Philippians, be careful for nothing. The word be careful for nothing comes from the same, it's the same identical word, take no thought. So what he's saying is, you can't keep worrying and fretting over something. And you know what causes great loss often? Is our thoughts. It's what you were thinking. I wonder why it's taking so long. I wonder why I'm in more pain today than yesterday. I talked to a little lady. She was diabetic. Precious lady, been on insulin for a long time. And she had her faith anchored for healing. And she got up one morning and her insulin level was normal, which is never done to a award-winning diabetic. And so she didn't need a shot. And the next day it was the same thing, and she didn't need a shot. She was thrilled. She said, you know, the Lord is healing me. But when the third day her level was very high, she never flinched. She took her shot. She made her confession. She shouted hallelujah. She wasn't moved. See, take thought means you're moved by something. You're meditating in. You're thinking about. You're pondering. It's throwing you off track. And I've got to keep my mind on the Word of God. Keep my mind on what God has promised, what God has said. I can't let my mind wander. It says, take no thought. This is what you eat, what you drink, and what you shall put on. So don't even think about it. I'm not one of these people that lays out their clothes the night before. Do you do that? I know some of those people. But I'm not one. And when I open my closet in the morning, I have to take some thought to think, now, And my pants are labeled in the back, blue and black, because I am very picky. These are blue today, in case you didn't know. But I'm looking. Well, the other lady, she's not looking at all. She lays out, she irons everything the night before. She lays it all out. She lays out her shoes, decides she's wearing tennis shoes and socks. She's not wearing any socks. It's all laid out there. It's all ready. She can jump into it. I thought, no. I'm not going that way. But when you take thought, you keep meditating on something that you shouldn't be thinking about. And listen, this is what happens. Verse 30. If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The more you think about it, the less faith you have. You want to know why your faith is not strong? It was what you were meditating on, what you were thinking about, what you were taking thought over, what you were considering. And your faith is little. And then he says, take no thought, and here's the key. What's the next word? Verse 31. Take no thought. Saying. The more you think about it, the more likely you are to say, my knee is killing me. Or whatever it is. Or I just get worse and worse. Well, I don't know why this costs so much. The more you ponder that, the more you let that thought lodge, the more your faith shrinks, and eventually you're going to say it. And life and death is in the power of the tongue, and you just spoke death to yourself. And it all stemmed from the fact that you were thinking death. You got that right? Well, you know how hard it is to correct your thinking. Have you ever tried that? What we're doing is saying, don't think about that, don't think about that. Don't think about it, don't think about it, don't think about it. My sister, since I was in the hospital 2020, my sister calls me every night at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not worried about it at all. But I do look over every now and then and think, oh, right, it's 10 o'clock. About that time, the phone rings. She's very punctual. I don't have to think about that. I know it's going to happen. Been happening for 4 years. Amen. It is going to happen. She is going to call me at 10 o'clock. Amen. It is going to happen. You are healed. God said so. Amen. He said so. If you ask for healing, why am I asking for healing if he's the God who heals me? If he wants me to be healed, why do I have to ask? Because he said to ask. He said, ask and you shall receive. Now, when you walk with him, take no thought saying. I want you to anchor there. I want you to see that. Take no thought saying. When you begin to say and give the wrong report, you are destroying your victory. Down the tubes. Well, what I instantly do is repent. I just say, because I'm very clever, and God knows how clever I am. I said, you didn't write that down, did you? Don't write that down. Erase that. I want to take that back. Take no thought saying. You can't think the wrong thoughts and have victory. You can't think on loss and win. The more you think on loss, the day will come when you will start speaking loss. And then you will find that you did lose. You know what I can kindly say to you? Keep your mouth shut. And then turn your brain off. Click. You may have to do that several times, you know. Rotate it and turn it off, turn it off. James 4. Chapters 1 and 2, I mean verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. It's illegal or immoral. You can automatically know God's not answering. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. There's some things you can't touch and embrace and have victory. And then you go down to verse 7, submit yourself to God. That means I've got to be submitted to the Word, and I've got to keep the Word in my thinking and the Word in my mouth. And the way to keep your Word in your thinking is keep it in your mouth. You keep saying it, and you'll find yourself, you're thinking it. Now, I didn't memorize the scripture. I can quote a lot of it, but I never did. I memorized 10 verses in the denominational church. We memorized some scriptures as a child and even as a young adult. But basically, as I read it over and over and over again, the Holy Ghost sticks it in your spirit, and you find out you know that, you can quote that. Now, look, it says, submit to God. You can't submit to God unless you're submitted to His Word. Right. I can't submit to Wayne if I did what he told me not to do. If I'm submitted, I'm in full agreement with God. And when you come into the kingdom, it says Jesus becomes Lord, not Savior. You have to add Savior and Lord. One supreme in authority. I've given Him authority over my life. That means whatever He says, that's what I do. And then I'm in His Word constantly, so I can keep His Word in my thinking. And if I keep His Word in my thinking, one day I'll be boldly speaking and declaring His Word, and then victory. I like victory to charge in, but sometimes it dribbles in. Have you noticed that? And I'm just telling you again, put that in your pipe and smoke it, if you've ever heard that expression. Many times that's because you needed to increase your faith by waiting. Well, submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. If you resist the devil, he's the one that puts thoughts in your mind. He's the one that leads you off track. So anytime I'm listening to the wrong thought, and I'm beginning to speak the wrong thought, I'm giving the devil a place in my life. Now, in the church at Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, that was the strongest church that we know of, that we have record of, in the days of Jesus the Apostle Paul. Ephesians was the strongest church, the most mature church. And to that church that was most mature, the Apostle Paul said, don't give place to the devil. Resist him, don't give place. Now, what's the first thing in Luke chapter 4? He came to Jesus, and he said, you know, Jesus has been fasting 40 days. He said, make these stones into bread. And Jesus quoted scripture. He had the scripture and the verses in his mind and in his heart. And he didn't say, well, I really am hungry. After 40 days, you're real hungry. No, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. He said, I won't do that. I'm not thinking that. Your thoughts are going to bring you faith or cause your destruction. And when you're really sick, it's hard not to think how sick you are, how much pain you're in. Now, in the night, if I'm not sleeping, I have an MP3 player. They're very inexpensive, by the way, if you want one. And Wayne records scriptures on it and other things. And if I'm not sleeping, rather than sitting there and trying not to think of anything that I shouldn't be thinking of, I plug that in my ear and listen to the scripture. John Hagee quotes scripture. Several people you wouldn't know quote scripture. My favorite, Tom Davis, quotes scripture. I have music on there. I have a sermon on there. Listen, there isn't any. I'll give you a tip. No faster way of going to sleep again in the night than plug in a sermon in. And next thing you know, you're going... Wayne said, what were you listening to? I said, a pastor of a... What was he preaching on? I think I fell asleep. Which was the purpose? Because I don't want the devil in my mind. I don't want him telling me I will die. I don't want him telling me I'm getting worse. I don't want him telling me this is going to cost you thousands of dollars. And we have to be very careful what we say to people. They do not need me saying, oh, yeah, my friend Murtis had that. Well, she died. I don't know how many times people do that. Tell them what God said. Quote the Word. Read the Word. Tell them what God said. There was a little lady who had stomach cancer. She was in her 80s, and she's ready to die. She's prepared to die. I understand that because I've stood by the side of some of those people. And her pastor friend wouldn't let her die. I said, absolutely not. God promised to heal you. Get well and then die if you want to. That's what he said. Well, she thought about that. And what she did was she had done some evangelical work. She was a fine preacher. And she was a fine preacher. Did you get that part? And she spent the next weeks going over and over the scripture until she actually started getting better, and they sent her home for a while. Well, when he was back in that area, he thought he better check on her. But she wasn't home. And her daughter was there and said, "Oh, you know, Mama took the bus. She's gone down to so-and-so. She's got a preaching engagement." And she was totally well. What made her well? Hearing the word over and over and over. Her own word, her own sermons. Going through the scripture that she had taught and preached. She kept going over it and kept getting better and kept getting better. Now, this little man that had cancer, that went into the coma, his wife sat by his side. You could hear him breathing. And suddenly you couldn't hear him breathing. And the nurses came running. They said, "He's dead, he's dead, he's dead, he's died." And they came around the corner, and he's very much alive. He was healed. He said, "Oh, Jesus just came and healed me." Amen. And they sent him home, no cancer. How'd that happen? Faith and patience inherits the promise. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. Take no thought saying, don't worry, don't be anxious, and keep talking about how worried you are, how anxious you are, how you wish this never happened, you don't know what you're ever going to do, you don't know how you're going to pay for this. Everybody has those thoughts. Everybody has to discard those thoughts. Now look at Hebrews. Resist the devil. Don't give the devil a place. Well, his place he gets is in your mind. Verse 35, chapter 10. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. What reward do you want? It's healing. That's the reward I want. That's what's paid for. That's what belongs to me. That's what's promised to me. Healing, healing, healing. He says, don't cast away your confidence. Where does confidence come from? Comes from the word. When you have you ever thrown something away you really needed? We've been looking for Wayne's other glasses for some time. He has a pair he's supposed to wear in the yard because he's murder on glasses. He murders his glasses. You understand that? Well, we never could find him. We have seek the Lord. And if you find him, when you seek to find something, it's going to take, we couldn't find those glasses anywhere. And I found them this morning laying in the floor in the spare room. Well, I don't know that he's ever been in there. Well, he must have been in there once. And there they were on the floor behind some things. And they look just exactly like these because these are his. I found out I could wear his, and it's a lot cheaper to wear his than to get me some new ones right now. And I carried them out. And I thought they were mine because I have others. And he said, "Oh, you found my glasses." How long have we been looking for those?
3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, a long time. At least 4 weeks. Been looking for those. But he said they're here somewhere. He never got, we couldn't find them, but we didn't give up. We didn't retreat. We didn't say, "Well, I guess you just have to go get you some others to lose." That's what we do. I'm going to be confident no matter how long it takes. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. I'm going to continue to stand in the scripture. I'm not going to think thoughts that I shouldn't be thinking. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If it is not in line with what God is saying, you have to cast that down. You have to. It's not like fishing where you throw your rod out there and after a while you reel it in. It's you get rid of that. That thought doesn't line up with the Word of the living God. It doesn't line up with your desire. It doesn't line up with what God has said to you. And you get rid of that. You get rid of that. And you begin to say. Well, so I say that, but I don't really believe it. Say it till you do believe it. Just keep saying. Take no thought. You're supposed to speak your faith and not your doubt. Now, look at verse 23, same chapter. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Hold fast. You know how to hold fast? Come here, Wayne, would you please? Hold fast. And I'm going to... There's no way you can get away from that grip, I'm telling you. And that's how the grip you have on the Word of God.
Amen.
You're holding fast. Maybe a verse, maybe two verses, maybe a chat. I don't care how much you hold fast to, but you've got it in your thinking, and you're quoting it constantly. And if you have a thought that... thank you, dear. If you have a thought that contradicts that thought, you cast it aside. And then later, in this hold fast the profession of faith without wavering. When you waver, you're doubt. Wavering is compared in James to the waves of the sea. You know, they're in, they're up, they're down, they're out, they're in, they're up, they're down, they're out. And if that's what your mind is doing, you've lost. So I have to be a student of the Word and constantly. And if I can't quote the Word, I have Wayne quote. I call Suzanne. I've called Susan. I said, help. I need a lot of help. I had a sciatic nerve dilemma, and I needed a lot of help. Now, in verse 38, it says, the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back. What happens when you draw back? You were doing good, and you quit. You see that? You were living by faith. Faith comes from the Word. You had the Word in your heart. You're quoting the Word. You're not letting anything contrary to the Word come out of your mouth. You're guarding and not letting the devil plant thoughts in your mind. You're not giving him a place. You're not submitting to him. And when he comes to you, as if he, like he came to Jesus, he might also come to you. And you're discarding that. You say, no, no, no. God said, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. He sent his word and healed me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. So I'm healed. You see that? Don't draw back. Don't quit. And then he says, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In him. Do you want God to be discouraged with you? Me either. Now look over at James chapter 1. I'm trying to tell you, put the word in your thoughts and quote it and read it and study it and cast out any thought that contradicts the word of God. And continue to know that the day comes when the word is going to... I always say it this way. Suddenly seems to come after a long wait. Have you noticed that? Everybody said, I've talked about it. It's just so sudden. It was just... And then they think, I think, you and I have been praying about this for a year and a half. Suddenly always comes after a long wait. I don't know why that is. Now look. If any lack wisdom, verse 5... Ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, upbraids not, it shall be given him. If you lack wisdom and you ask, it's given to you. In other words, in my situation, I don't know exactly what to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm at. It said, God gives liberally, he upbraids not. That is the word to scold. Now, Suzanne took piano lessons, and I don't know how many times I told her that's a quarter note. She'd come back with her music. Now, what'd you say this was? And I said, that's a quarter note. And after a while, I wanted to say, Suzanne, that's a quarter note. How many times do I have to tell you that? But be kind, one to another. I didn't holler at you, did I? She doesn't remember. Oh, that's good. She doesn't remember. Upbraideth not is the word to scold or to fuss at. And said, if you ask God for wisdom, said, I really don't know what to do. And you ask for wisdom, said, he's not going to say, it's the stupidest thing you ever asked me, Becky. I can't believe you don't know that. You've been teaching Bible over 40 years, and you're asking me that? He said, I won't do that. He said, I'll give liberty. In other words, he'll just pour it out to me, this great explanation. And you know, sometimes I have to say now, say that again. Say that one more time. Jesus will help you. Yeah, 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 Jesus. He'll help you. He said, fear thou not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. If he doesn't help you, he's a liar. And everybody knows. Every word he says is true. And he's going to help me. And then it says, if you ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wavering is doubt that's taking thought for the wrong things. It means to doubt. It is the same word in the language as when you see doubt, that means waver. You see waver, you mean doubt. And he said, nothing wavers. Nothing wavers. You got that? Nothing? That means I need to do a better job on my brain, don't you think? Because it doesn't take much till we're just discouraged. Now, he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And what drives you is your thoughts, and your thoughts that are contrary to the Scripture. We're going to cast all those down, remember. Cast all those thoughts down that are contrary to the Scripture. We're going to hold fast to God's Word. We're going to resist the devil and resist his thoughts and resist his... He tries to come into our life like he had some authority, but he has no authority. You belong to the King of Kings. Jesus is Lord. So he doesn't have any authority. But he tricked Eve. He said, what did God say? Hath God said? Now look. Verse 7. Let not that man think he receives anything of the Lord. The man that wavers, the man that falls to doubt, the man that one day believes and the next day doesn't believe, it says he won't receive a thing. You got that? I'd repent real quick. That's what I, if it were me, I'd repent. And then it says, a double-minded man, that's a man with two opinions, is unstable. A double-minded man is unstable. A double-minded man is a man with two minds. One mind says, this is what God has said. This is what the Word says. And my other mind says, oh, I don't know what we'll ever do. I'm in so much pain. I just get worse and worse, and they're going to charge me for another... Blah, 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 blah. I know y'all are out there because I've talked to you. Don't tell me you don't do that. Tell me you don't want to do it. Tell me you don't really want to do it. Did you get the point today? Take no thought saying. You've got to cleanse your mind, guard your mind, put the Word in your mind. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be given you. You've got to abide. You've got to stay connected to the Word and to the house of God and to the people of God. You've got to have somebody in your life that you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, I need help today. Mm-hmm. I answer my phone at 3 o'clock. One lady called me at 3 o'clock. And she told me her dilemma, and I asked her some questions because I don't have a medical mind, but I asked some questions. And I said, I'm going to call an ambulance to pick you up. And she was a little reluctant, but she said, okay. She lived alone, and I called the ambulance, gave them the data, and then I went to the hospital, and the next morning before noon, they did emergency surgery that saved her life. You've got to have somebody on your side that knows God and knows His Word that will help you. That when you say help, they know you're not kidding. This lady went to the hospital 3 times before she got over it. 3 different times. And you can't be impatient with people. Now she's in church every week. Amen. Take no thought saying. Don't think it, don't say it. Think the Word. Speak the Word. Oh, we thank you, Father, for these faithful listeners. Let each one partake and take home in their heart the thing they needed to hear. I needed to hear it myself. So thank you for allowing us to rehearse the importance of our thoughts and our words. And we thank you that when we ask, we do receive. If we have to seek, if we have to keep knocking, we're not going to give up or quit. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.